Thank you for listening to the Print and Packaging Lab powered by PIA Mid-America. We are a regional trade association for the printing and packaging industries. Today's conversation with Dave Pearson looks at what actually drives performance in a print plant, from workflow and waste to leadership and continuous improvement.
I think we're ready.
Okay, sounds
good. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Janie. How are you?
Great. Thank you for meeting with us today and talking about production foundations in the print shop. I think let's get started by introducing yourself. Tell us about your experience and why you got into print to begin with.
Well, my experience starts back in high school where I grew up, and we had a print shop, and my older brother had taken it before me and suggested maybe I'd take it because I'd done wood shop. I made all the shoe shine boxes and the ashtrays and metal shop that I could do. So it was like, okay, we'll try it out. And fortunately had a instructor that had a brother who went to RIT and was working for DuPont. And so he was trying to encourage us to look at it as a vocation and a career rather than just an elective in high school. So I got a couple jobs at some little print shops in the area and kind of liked it. It's pretty exciting. So ended up going up to RIT to go to college, which had a big graphic arts and photography school at that time back in the late 60s. And went there for 4 years and graduated and stayed up in the Rochester area for about 20 years working in a printing company, and then Texas back in 88 with a job opportunity, and worked down here and since, and finished my career working at PIA and for about, and so it's been a great career. Saw lots and lots of changes between the 60s and now for sure. But it's been great. It's exciting. And I always was concerned that I'd have a job that I would just be looking at the clock all day waiting for quitting time. But in the printing business, you never have to worry about that.
That never happens.
The quitting time comes a lot sooner than you're ready to leave. That's for sure.
Yeah. Dave, you mentioned about the change over the last 60 years or so. What do you think is probably the most influential change on print that you've seen in that time as technology's evolved?
I think it's a few different things, Janie. One thing you see is a safer environment, safety equipment on machines, safer chemicals to be used, protective gear for people to wear. So I think from a safety standpoint, that's a big change. Probably the other thing I see as a change is back in the early days, there was on machines, make ready time could go for hours and shifts even to set up a job.
Wow.
Whereas now we're talking about minutes to do a job. So you know, you might have a job that makes ready one day and it finally gets okayed to run the next day in some cases. So longer make readies, you know, fewer people required on the machines because of the craftsmanship is probably less than what it used to be because of technology. It becomes more of a manufacturing type situation. Whereas back in the day, operators would do some just crazy stuff to make a job look good on press, you know, messing around with the packing, messing around with the plates. Whereas now it's much more kind of cut and dry and more, you know, like I say, more of a manufacturing production issue versus a craftsmanship. Wow. Some of the things I see changing, yeah.
What a great perspective. Hey, what hasn't changed? What is still the same?
It's obviously a pretty stressful industry in that it's very schedule-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
When dates need to be made, they're just not made because somebody would like to have them on that date. They're dates that are set up because of either an event or a thing that goes out, or information that's very timely. So that adds a lot of challenges to the to our industry. And but that's what also kind of separates the successful companies from those that are not. And that problem from a timeliness standpoint, you know, has a lot to do with how efficiently and effectively you can and address issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah. When you walk into a plant today, what are the first three things that you really notice and see about a shop?
Well, here again, going back to safety, I look around to see what's going on. You know, if there's forklifts going down the aisle or pallet jacks, if there's safe actions, you know, if there's just some danger points, extension cords on the floor, you know, safety needs to be a very high priority to because there are lots of ways to get hurt.
Yeah.
And we've all, unfortunately, those of us who have been in the business have seen some of those consequences, and it can be very severe. So safety is one thing. When I walk into a shop, I also kind of look at workflow. You know, sometimes people get excited saying, boy, look at all these loads of product we have sitting here. You know, we're really producing a lot of work. And then the first question or the next question is that, why is that much product sitting there waiting for the next step? You know, do you have constraints? You know, the theory of constraints is, you know, the funnel in your system that you need to look at. And a lot of companies do that better than others as far as flow through the plant. So that's an important thing. And people standing around waiting for direction, the time and money that's spent in waiting time is huge. So those are just kind of a few things that I look at. Obviously, you look at a lot of things, but, you know, there's certain things that you have to kind of say, wow, this is a key item. We could address this item, just one of these items. How much time could we pick up? I mean, just take one of those items, whether it's downtime, whether it's excess waste, whether it's lack of flow through the plant where product is sitting around. You know, if you can take just one of those, it can have some great benefits to your productivity.
Maybe you spent a lot of your career working on lean management principles and continuous improvement. I think that I've learned a lot from you over the last few years about how those principles can really impact a business, not only from the bottom line, but from employee satisfaction. I had to talk about lean and continuous improvement in a really short way. What would you say about it?
Well, current lean, and I always kind of call it lean / continuous improvement because they kind of somewhat go hand in hand. I know some people may try to keep it separate, but from the standpoint of lean, you know, one of the things that I see is when you first bring that subject up with some folks that aren't familiar with it, they get very defensive and almost a little bit nervous about what this really means. And their first thoughts are is that, oh, you're going to be cutting personnel. You're going to be giving us more hats to wear. Now we're going to have a chance to work even more hours a day than we did before, and it's going to be more stressful and difficult. And this is kind of what people see when they hear that word lean. But what lean is really lean in a nutshell is driving waste out of your operation, and it's improving your efficiencies, and it's actually trying to make work much easier than it is already. And it's really kind of lean is kind of a combination of the old TQM and the Phil Crosby Quality College, the old quality is free that he preached. And even, you know, a lot of the ISO procedures. What I like about lean is that it tries to simplify things, and none of it is rocket science. It's just kind of making people aware of certain things. You know, problem solving, measuring, and it's not looked to be an extra burden, but actually something that becomes part of your daily operations that helps to make you more efficient in what you're doing. So
It really accomplishes the opposite of that knee-jerk reaction, right?
Right, exactly. And you know, you have to start implementing these things to lean so that people can see that, because, you know, people aren't going to believe it until they see it. But I think it's what I really like about it also is a lot of the old systems, the old TQMs and whatever, a lot of procedures in writing. Big, thick three-ring binders that have all these procedures and processes and rules and regulations, and they're sitting up on a shelf somewhere, where lean is telling you, okay, get that stuff and keep it down right where the people are working. making more visual, put information right by the machine that they may need to have with some of the procedures. Really kind of bring it down to a point where people can understand it, make it simple, visuals. I always tell people that a lot of us in this world are IKEA fans. When you buy something from IKEA, the instructions have very little verbiage in it. It's diagrams, it's visuals.
Yeah.
You know, showing somebody doing something, putting things together. And I think that's another thing that we kind of stress in Lean, and which helps kind of bridge some of the language barriers, as well as people's, some of the folks' ability to comprehend a lot of verbiage. You know, we try to get very, very lengthy in our verbiage with procedures in the past, and people read it and you realize later that they maybe didn't totally understand what you were trying to get to with those. So simplifying it is part of Lean. And problem solving can be a fun thing, because as you find things and solve them, it's really kind of cool. And
yeah.
And that's something that people kind of look at me like, man, what are you, crazy? Problem solving is fun. But when you take it, really get down to the root cause of things and get them corrected, and see how it makes your life easier, makes you more productive and more fulfilling in what you're doing, it's a big plus.
Yeah, I love it. Dave, you spent a lot of your career as a plant manager, correct?
Yes. Yes, it was.
What do you think makes a great plant manager? And even though I never worked under you, I think you would have been versus an average one.
You know, there can be a lot of different personalities to the management of a company. There's no magic pill as far as what you do or don't do to make a difference. I always try to, I relate a lot of things to sports. Let's just take football, for example, for how many different personalities of coaches there are in the league, and ones are successful and which aren't. And a lot of the successful ones may be very different in the way they operate. And that can be the same way with a plant manager. I guess what the key thing is you have to be a good communicator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people need to understand what you're looking for. So you all have the common goals. You don't have one something and another department something else. Everybody's got to tie together. And being consistent in how you enforce the rules, and mm-hmm. consistent as far as your expectations for employees, whether it's anything from attendance policies to production issues, you have to be, things run from the top down, and if things aren't going good at the top, you're going to have some issues as you work through the organization. So I think communication, consistency, to be a good listener. A lot of managers don't want to waste time listening. They just want to tell everybody what they think the problem is and what the solution is. And that's probably not going to get you where you want to go if you're in that kind of a mode. So,
right.
And again, that goes back to a lot of what we preach in Lean as far as, employee engagement. We call it the subject matter experts. SME is a term that's mm-hmm. used in Lean. Subject matter, and going to the people who do the job to get answers and to be part of the solution, rather than sitting in a room and figuring out, well, this is probably what the problem is. You'll get people involved, and that's really a key thing. If you're consistent and you're a good communicator and you respond, when people ask you questions or bring up concerns, you give a response. Your response, whether they like the response or not, they appreciate the fact that you did respond. And that's a big part of it also.
Yeah. Great answer. Great answer. How do you get buy-in from a team that's been doing something the same way for 20 plus years?
Well, I guess I'll go back to my coaching example. And you hear it in sports too. This guy started coaching last year, and it wasn't maybe a great year because he had some different stuff that he expected. But this year, they seem to be buying into the system, right? How often do we hear that? Buying into the
right.
system. And that's what you need to do. There can be a lot of, the systems can look different from company to company, but if everybody buys in and sees that what their efforts are doing are working, whether it's the company or the possible wage increases they get, on a yearly basis or whatever, or the satisfaction level of the customers. You know, it's you got to show people. You can sit up there and blah 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 and all day long, but until they see the results, it's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna get their buy-in until they see the results of what's going on. And then, you know, respecting why they did what they did in the past, but saying, hey, you know, we got to turn the page here and look at something a little differently than we have in the past.
I have a very personal example from last week, and it made me think of the book Who Moved My Cheese, about change management. I had to change some software. I spent a month learning this one software, and then I figured out that I needed to go a different direction, and I was just so frustrated. I understood the why, and at the end of the day, it's a better software. The one I had to move to is better, and so I had to go through that whole change management principle to get to the other side and be happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's where the persistence of management to keep reinforcing what they want, what they expect, drives you to get to that point. Now, there may be some people that don't like that direction, and sometimes you have to shake hands and say goodbye and good luck, but this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, because you can't be pulling on both ends of the rope and expect to move anything forward. So
we were together a couple weeks ago when we surprised our 2026 Executive of the Year for Oklahoma, Texas, John Abbott. And one of the things that he talks about and really is part of his core is attitude. And I think that probably comes into play when we talk about change management and leading people, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah, you've and the attitude. Okay, I gave you these tools and this information. Now just go make it work. You know, the attitude has got to be, okay, we tried this. How is it going? Is there something else we might do? You know, that continuous improvement, that attitude that we celebrate. And here again, let's use a sports analogy. You know. Okay, let's just say the Cowboys win their first playoff game, okay? And they interview the coach afterwards, and they said, you know, coach, what, you know, they talk, and then they say, coach, what are you going to do? And most coaches are going to say, well, for the next 12 hours, we're going to celebrate our win, but then tomorrow we go back to work. We look at the films, we figure out everything we can do, and that's what you have to be constantly doing. You can't take your foot off the pedal. Celebrate. Like, absolutely, you have to celebrate your wins.
Yeah.
But you also can't be content, because that doesn't, you know, just because you win on Sunday, that doesn't mean the coach says, well, take a few days off from practice, you know.
Right.
No, you hit it just as hard as if you lost, you know,
yeah.
Because you've got another game. And every day going into our shops, going into the game, it's game day, you know,
yeah.
And you got to be ready for it. So that is, you know, very important.
What is one thing you wish that more people in the industry understood about print operation?
Well, you know, we have a lot of cases, we have a lot of processes in our industry. In other words, it isn't something comes in and gets painted and sent out the door. You know,
yeah.
We come in, we go to prep, we go to the press room, we go to the bindery, which could be a variety of different things. We go to the mail room, ship it out.
Yeah.
You know, after everything is said and done, if we ship it to the wrong place, everything that happened before then is lost. Is lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So every step is so important, and it's so important that all those steps need to connect to each other. We can't have a bunch of islands out there of production. And that's why I think it's very important for interdepartment teams to meet at some kind of frequency, so that they each understand what they do, what they need from their internal customer. What I mean by internal customer is the press room, the internal supplier is the prep department. So the prep department needs to know what the press room needs. The press room is the internal supplier for the bindery. So they need to know what the bindery is looking for. And when you get together with departments, find out what they need and what they don't need, it can really change the way you look at what you do in your own department, because you may be doing certain paperwork or labeling things a certain way or making your loads up in a certain fashion. Then you go and you talk to the bindery people and they go, well, that piece of paperwork, we don't really use that. We just kind of file it in the job ticket and don't pay much attention to it. It's not important.
Yeah.
You thought it was important. That's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, you might eliminate having to do certain things, but then the binder might also say, boy, you know, if you just put a marker down the edge of the guide side of the press there, that would really help us as far as when we go to the cutter, etc. I'm just using general examples,
but the whole
idea is that, you know, everything's got a mesh, and even if every team, every department does very well individually, if you're not connecting the two, you're not going to have the flow that you want. You're not going to have the efficiency that you want. Really, really important whole picture. So there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and any one of them take the job from a big success to a huge failure. And that's the way it is in the industry.
It is. I think anyone who has been any part of any job that's been produced has had one that's been snake bit or where something went horribly wrong, and it is never more apparent where the failures can happen. You got a job like that comes through the plant.
And if there are problems, you know, up at the front end of it, it's hard to catch up with it. You know, it's hard to catch that runaway train, you know, so it's very important on how, and I, another point to just stress, it's very important that there's clear information, you know, so that anybody can look at a job ticket, can do what they need to do, can understand what the expectations are, and follow through without having to ask a lot of questions. Because when you're having to ask a lot of questions, a lot of times your machine is down because you don't move anything. So as we always used to say, you know, you should be able to pick up that ticket at 2 o'clock in the morning, whoever's working on the job, understand what they're doing, but it can flow straight through in a good manner. And that's the information that's passed on from one department to another needs to be complete so that everybody knows what they need to do.
Yeah, great points. I appreciate you talking with us today and sharing some of your knowledge and experience with us. I would just like the audience to know that you're still active and a part of our print community. You come out to be with PIA at some of our events, and you're also doing lean and continuous improvement consulting.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you. And I'd like to leave with one statement that I was told years ago, and I think it's very important for all of us. Difference between being efficient and being effective, okay? You know, being efficient is doing things right, okay? Being effective is doing the right things. And especially as a manager, sometimes we find ourselves doing things that we're very efficient at, but they may not be the things that we need to be doing. So
yeah.
Whereas you feel good about all these accomplishments of being efficient, if it's not the proper thing that you should be doing or what's going to make your company succeed and grow effectively, so that it's the right stuff that gets you in the direction that you want to go.
Great closing statement. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Janie. I appreciate you asking me to be here today.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.